This is Ozarks at Large for Monday, May 20th, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. KUAF is supported by Arcom Printing, located on the hillside just east of the Township and College intersection in Fayetteville. Arcom Printing provides printing, copying, and digital output services. ArcomPrinting.com or 444-7711. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, we dig into archives from the Pryor Center for Oral and Visual History once again with the center's director, Randy Dixon. He'll bring us the sounds of sports in Arkansas for the past 45 years, including the voices of Brooks Robinson, Paul Eales, even President Richard Nixon. Plus, Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis has the eulogy for a piece of Northwest Arkansas infrastructure that marks a change in how we drive. And opera takes center stage on this week's edition of Arkansongs. First, Arkansas Treasurer Martha Shoffner is being held in the Pulaski County Jail after being arrested by the FBI on charges of extortion. She faces a hearing in federal court today. Shoffner has faced scrutiny since auditors said her office sold investment bonds at a loss through the same brokers. State Senator Jason Rapert says he learned about irregularities through employees in Shoffner's office.
The frustrating thing about this case, now I'm glad that we're at a point where things are finally being handled, but these three employees went to multiple people within what they term as the leadership of their party structure or in state government and said no one would lift a finger and do anything. And that, to me, is the story behind the story that you now see with Ms. Shoffner being put in jail.
More is expected to be known about exactly what Shoffner is accused of in the next few days. Roby Brock with Talk Business Arkansas has more on what we do know.
Well, the FBI has confirmed that Martha Shoffner, the state treasurer, is being held on a charge of extortion under color of official right under the Hobbs Act. This basically means she's been accused of taking a bribe or using her position as a public official to extort something of value. I think at the hearing, we're going to hear federal prosecutors describe how she obtained a financial gift or gifts as a result of her steering business from her office to one or more financial organizations.
Shoffner was arrested Saturday at her home in Newport. Unemployment numbers are down in Arkansas. The U.S. Department of Work Services announced Friday that 1,700 more people were employed in April and 800 fewer people became unemployed. Communications Director Kimberly Friedman says one industry in particular showed significant increase in employment.
The leisure and hospitality industry posted the largest increase of 4,400 jobs. Gains were largely seasonal. And they occurred mostly in accommodation and food services subsector.
The United States unemployment rate decreased 0.1% and is at 7.5%. Efforts to overhaul the federal farm bill are finally gaining traction on Capitol Hill. U.S. Senator John Bozeman of Arkansas voted to help get the bill out of the Senate Agriculture Committee last week.
I think this is a great example of Democrats and Republicans working together so that our farmers will understand what the rules are going to be for the next 5 years so that they can make important decisions concerning the crops that they're going to grow, going ahead and buying equipment that they need, leasing acreage. All of this puts money into the local communities, creating jobs and protecting the jobs that we have now.
Arkansas's other senator, Mark Pryor, says the bipartisan measure approved by the committee contains guidelines that he says are better for agriculture in the South. Senator Pryor also sponsored a forestry provision that's part of the bill.
The bio program, which basically will allow U.S. timber, U.S. lumber to be used and get the certification from USDA. Puts a little stamp there for the consumer to see when they buy it, when they're at the Home Depot or at Lowe's or the local lumber yard. But it also gives these U.S. products a preference when the government is buying wood and in building projects, et cetera. So this is good.
Officials say the measure also contains provisions that would cut spending and create new subsidies for farmers. The farm bill is expected to reach the Senate floor for a full vote this week. Drivers in the Van Buren area should be advised of temporary traffic pattern changes beginning tonight on Highway 64 at Interstate 540. The Arkansas Highway Transportation Department says all traffic will be moved to the existing westbound lanes of Highway 64 to allow the bridge over the interstate to be raised. Eastbound traffic will be diverted to westbound lanes using temporary median crossings and the eastbound on-ramp to the interstate, as well as the north and southbound off-ramps to eastbound 64, will be closed to accommodate the work. The changes will begin after 7 and continue for about 48 hours. The Razorback baseball team had a disappointing weekend of play at Auburn. After losing 3-0 Thursday night, the Hogs did score a 1-0 win Friday evening, but Saturday's 11-6 loss gave the three-game series to Auburn. The losses in the final series of the regular season mean Arkansas drops to 35-19 on the year, 18-11 in SEC play. Despite losing 2 of 3 over the weekend, the Razorbacks did secure the third seed in the SEC tournament. They'll open play Wednesday morning in the SEC tournament. That will be played in Hoover, Alabama. Another day of active storms that include damaging winds, large hail, and the development of tornadoes is being forecast by the National Weather Service Prediction Center in Norman, Oklahoma. Jeff Peters, a forecaster with the National Weather Service Storm Prediction Center, says a cold front extending from southern Missouri to Oklahoma will mean there will be areas to watch for development of strong to severe thunderstorms throughout the day. Lingering low-level moisture across the eastern U.S., combined with surface heating after morning thunderstorms in Kansas, will create instability, potentially causing strong to severe storms to move into southern Missouri, eastern Oklahoma, and northwest Arkansas into tonight.
By this evening, the strong to severe storm activity will spread eastward with the lead cold front as it moves into parts of eastern Oklahoma, the Ozarks, and middle Mississippi Valley, while a secondary cold front moves through the Central Plains region.
He says a few strong tornadoes are possible. Large hail is likely with the strongest storms. In addition, a squall line that could bring more widespread damaging winds may develop by mid-evening. So, tonight, 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms for our listening area. Lows will be in the mid-60s in northwest Arkansas. Lows in the upper 60s for the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, it should be cloudy with a 70% chance of showers in northwest Arkansas, highs in the mid-70s. Tomorrow in the Arkansas River Valley, 80% chance of rain, highs in the upper 70s. And for Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers in northwest Arkansas, 80% chance tomorrow night in the Arkansas River Valley. Lows tomorrow night throughout the region, around 60. This is Ozarks at Large. The Arkansas legislature formally ended their session last week, but the political news didn't end there. The state's treasurer was arrested this weekend, and as Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas points out in his weekly recap, the race for governor didn't gain another high-profile candidate last week.
House Speaker Davey Carter says he will not run for Arkansas governor in 2014, citing a return to the private sector. Quote, after much deliberation, I have decided against a campaign for governor at this time, Carter said. I love this state and I love public service. While I will be returning to the private sector, I will find ways to remain involved in public service in Arkansas in the years ahead. Carter is a lawyer and former banker. He's talked publicly about seeking the Republican nomination for governor since the end of the legislative session in April. Walmart's overall revenues and net income grew by about 1%, with the retail giant blaming weather, low inflation, and sluggish consumer spending for the small gains. The Bentonville-based retailer reported first quarter net income of $3.78 billion on revenue of $114.2 billion. U.S. same-store sales actually declined 1.2% in the quarter, although Sam's Club revenue was up 0.2%. Interestingly, and of note, e-commerce sales for Walmart grew more than 30% in the first quarter versus last year. Axiom Corporation saw revenues fall nearly 3.5% in its final fiscal quarter, but earnings plummeted 71% during the three-month reporting period. The Little Rock-based data marketer posted net income of $13.2 million on revenue of $277 million. Despite flatline sales brought about by cooler temperatures, Dillard's reported a 23% increase in profits as the Little Rock-based mall retailer boosted its bottom line. Dillard's reported net income of $117 million on sales and revenue of more than $1.58 billion in its first quarter. Casino-style electronic games of skill wagers at Oaklawn and Southland continued their year-over-year increases, but record months were not in the numbers in April. Still, after back-to-back months of record highs, the two racetracks cleared the $1 billion mark in total EGS wagers in 2013 year-to-date. The latest statistics released by the Arkansas Racing Commission show both tracks with 29% increases in the month in electronic games of skill wagering versus the previous year. Southland's year-to-date EGS wagers exceeded $731 million, while Oaklawn surpassed $380 million for the year. EGS wagers include gambling spent on video blackjack, video poker, slot machines, and other casino-style games. I'm Roby Brock, and that is your Talk Business Arkansas update.
Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from four offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Randy Dixon, who is the director of the Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Randy, welcome back.
Thank you, Kyle.
You pleased a lot of people when you were here last month, and you gave us some audio memories of Arkansas's history.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on again. I'd like to do this on a regular basis.
Well, we're going to.
Possible.
Yes.
Good.
And just to catch some folks up to speed who didn't hear the first one, these, and what we're about to hear today, also are cuts from the archives.
From KATV, the ABC affiliate in Little Rock, we have donated to us 26,000 hours of footage, news footage. And what we're doing is digitizing this old film, old videotape. Hope to have it soon or in the future available to view on the Pryor Center website. And what we're having fun with here is pulling some of these clips and stripping the video from them and using them here on the radio.
And I should mention the website is pryorcenter.uark.edu.
Yes.
And not only are clips like this there, but all sorts of oral histories, much longer in-depth interviews.
Well, the actual mission of the Pryor Center is to collect oral and visual Arkansas history stories, and we do long-form interviews with Arkansans.
Yes.
And those are posted there.
People you've heard of and people you haven't.
Exactly.
Today we're going to focus on some of these KATV clips over the past 40 years or so that dealt with sports. Arkansas is a big sports state.
Exactly. We thought we'd do a theme, and we had sort of an overview of everything that's in there the last time, but this time we thought we would focus particularly on sports and Arkansas-related sports.
Probably the best baseball player to come from Arkansas.
You've probably heard of him.
Brooks Robinson, number mm-hmm. five for the Baltimore Orioles.
That's right. With the Orioles for 23 years, I believe. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 83. Mm-hmm. And Bud Campbell, the sports director for Channel 7, caught up with him in 1971, right after the Orioles had beaten the Reds in the 1970 World Series.
Now, it's not fair to say that Brooks Robinson single-handedly beat the Reds, but he was making
close.
Plays at third base that still boggle the mind.
Amazing catches. And, yeah. and he addresses a little of that in this clip.
It couldn't have been better, Bud. The series was just fantastic, and it's a great feeling to come out with 25 guys and be number one for a winner, you know. And for me, as far as the series is concerned, I don't think it'd ever happen again because it was most of the balls that I caught, it's just a matter of inches, you know, 2 or 3 inches, and they're all base hits. So I was very fortunate and to be in the right spot, and I got a few base hits, and it was just a great series all the way around.
What sort of after-series or after-game reaction did you get from some of the Cincinnati players that you robbed of base hits?
Well, I haven't talked to any. I hadn't run into any of them along the banquet trail yet, but I'm sure I will this winter. But I know after I made a couple of catches off of Johnny Bench, he told me, he said, okay. So the next one, he said, it looks like the only way I'm going to get it by you is to hit it over you. And sure enough, he ended up hitting a home run off of me, you know. So that's just about I have a lot of friends there. Pete Rose is a close friend of mine, and it's just one of those things. And I'm sure they'll be back playing for the World Championship next year.
Brooks, when you have something like this happen for you, and you've certainly earned it and deserved it, does it mean that the demands on your time for this winter and the early part of next spring before you go to spring training have been really greatly enhanced?
Well, it sure has. I've been jumping around a little more, but January is really going to be a hectic month for me. But outside of that, everything is going to be almost normal. I've got about, 31 days in January. I've got about 20 banquets, such as a St. Louis Writers Banquet, the Houston Writers Banquet, New York, and the Hickok Award is in Rochester. So I'm going to be jumping around from town to town. And I enjoy it. I don't mind it that much. And I'm going to be back in February, and I'll have to start concentrating on next year again.
Are you going to go after that $100,000 contract?
Well, I haven't thought too much about it, and I think I've got a good chance of getting it. I sure do. But it's one of those things where nobody's going to give you anything. You got to go in and negotiate for it, just like you do in any other business. And I never demanded it. I know it came out in the paper saying I demanded this and demanded that, but I never really demanded anything. And I'm looking forward to starting the negotiations, though.
So they were haggling with Brooks Robinson over $100,000 a year.
$100,000 contract.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's almost, I think that's less than the major league minimum now. Staying with baseball of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a clip here from Augie Bush.
This is again Bud Campbell, mm-hmm. and he caught up with August Bush. I guess this would be August Bush Sr., who at the time owned not only Budweiser beer,
right.
which is not the case anymore, but also
right.
the St. Louis Cardinals, and he spoke to him in 1970.
Our special guest tonight is Mr. August Bush, who is president of the St. Louis Cardinal baseball team, also president and owner of Anheuser-Busch. And Mr. Bush, first of all, which do you enjoy the most, the brewery business or the baseball business?
Well, now, Bud, that's a pretty tough question. I have to admit to you that one of my great loves, and one that I've grown up with longer than I have with baseball, happens to be the beer business. But baseball comes an awful close second without any argument.
I saw you the day that the Cardinals won the World Series a couple of years ago, and I don't believe I've ever seen a gentleman who reflected as much happiness as you did that particular day. That has to be one of the great thrills for you, doesn't
it? Well, Bud, I have to admit that it was one of the greatest thrills I ever had in my live-long life. When we finally won that series, it was, the World Series, and the climax getting into the pennant end of it, and then the real climax of winning the World Series was to me the greatest thing that ever happened.
One of my earliest memories is watching the Great Shootout
mm-hmm.
as a kid, Texas, Arkansas, 1969.
It's a big one. And this is sort of the Humble Oil highlight
okay.
reel of the game.
In the Ozarks, the battle of the century, undefeated number one and undefeated number two before President Nixon, national television, and worldwide radio via the Humble Network. A minute and a half into the spectacle, Bill Burnett gives Arkansas a 7-0 lead as the Porkers go for their 16th straight victory.
Yeah, that's what was basically the ESPN highlights of the day.
Right.
You'd see them in these sort of newsreel presentations.
Right. And this game was the only college football game broadcast that day.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have every game on television.
Right.
It was a big deal.
And ABC Sports knew ahead of time that it would be such a big game that preseason they got Arkansas and Texas to rearrange their schedules. So it would be the last game played. And Rune Arledge even promised Darryl Royal and Frank Broyles that the president would be there.
And?
He was, and was in the locker room, the Arkansas locker room, after the game.
They were the great team. Well, thank you, sir. We feel that way, too. It's a tough assignment, isn't it, to have to do?
I'd like to say something to the team, because I know how you feel. I've lost some in my field of politics. I've lost some close ones and I've won some close ones, but I want you to know that in the 100th year of football, in the game to prove which was to be number one, we couldn't have had a greater game. Arkansas was magnificent throughout the game, and Texas, in order to win, had to beat a great team. On any Saturday, if we were to make a bet, I would say we wouldn't know which team to choose, whether it would be Arkansas or Texas. And I also want you to know this. I think you can be awfully proud of the way your fans are with you. I've never seen stands so full of life. The whole state was behind you. There was a spirit there about it, Coach, and that means that your team has done something that's really great for this state.
Thank you, sir. We're very proud of our fans. They've had a big part in the success that we've had.
Right.
But we're doubly proud that you're big sports fans and believe in our program across the state.
Yes.
This will mean a lot to football for years to come.
Frank Broyles and Richard Nixon.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a documentary that's just been produced on, it's called The Big Shootout, mm-hmm. and they use some of the footage from the KATV collection for it. I did a little bit of work on that, but it should be showing some places in Arkansas here soon.
Oh, wow. You know, there was a future president in the stands that day, too.
George Bush.
Yes, the first President Bush was mm-hmm. there as a congressman. There's a great picture.
And John Paul Hammerschmidt.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They were kind of the co-hosts of the president. There weren't as many bowl games back then, either.
No, there weren't. Now, this next clip is a highlight clip from, I'd say it's kind of a groovy one, because it's from 71, and apparently the Liberty Bowl was a big, big deal back in the early 70s when you get Nipsey Russell and Doc Severinsen to help host the Liberty Bowl. I guess it's a pretty big deal.
Oh, why?
But you'll see here in this clip.
It's all part of a fantastic fun week in Memphis. And Nipsey Russell adds his humor.
I say seek for knowledge. Go to a college. Stay there until you are through. If they can make penicillin out of moldy cheese, they can make something out of you.
Liberty Bowl participants thrill to Doc Severinsen's Las Vegas Review. Doc and Nipsey preview Monday's game with place kickers Bill McClard of Arkansas on the right and George Hunt of Tennessee.
Man, what a game that was. I couldn't believe it.
But kicking, you're always under the pressure. It's only when they can't move the ball by throwing it or running it that they call you in.
It's like y'all. What pressure? If you make it, you make it. If you miss it, you miss it. That's mm-hmm. the only way to look at it. I mean, there's really no pressure.
Well, you can't think about missing anything. I know if I think about missing a note on a trip, but that one's missed.
Can the holder help or throw you?
Holders can make a lot of difference. Holders can make an awful lot of difference. Well, I tell you, they can make you break you.
If it comes down to a field goal tomorrow and you miss it, then
there'll be pressure.
And the game, there'll be pressure when you get back on the locker
room. Yeah, there'll be some pressure.
So not only did they perform, but Nipsey Russell and Doc Severinsen are there interviewing.
They did the interviews. Yeah, I don't quite get it, but it's funny that they were talking to the kickers because Arkansas lost 14-13.
Yes, and that was a controversial loss.
It was.
There was a holding call not really called
mm-hmm.
on Tennessee.
Yeah, I was reading blogs about the conspiracy and
oh,
all
yeah,
that sort
that's,
of thing.
Yes, yes. Football moves along.
Yes.
Of course, Frank Broyles would retire. He'd become just AD, and he would hire this guy who had been at the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, North Carolina State, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah, Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz. He was here, what, 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
And we pulled out of the archives here the day of his resignation. It was a cold December day up here in Fayetteville, and it was kind of a surprise news conference. It was called by Holtz.
And I hope that the prospects that are already committed to the University of Arkansas will honor that commitment. I hope the people that planned on visiting the University of Arkansas will continue to do so. This is a great place to be. The same great qualities that I've been trying to sell in the University of Arkansas are still here. And this university is totally committed to excellence. I would recommend it to anybody.
He made that statement, left without taking yep. any questions, and then Frank Broyles came out and had some comments.
Gentlemen and ladies, let me start by reiterating my feeling about Lou Holtz as a coach and as a person. And I want the record to clearly show that I consider him today as I did and have for the last 7 years to be as brilliant a coach as I have ever seen.
The room was just kind of in shock during the whole thing. And Paul Eales, our news director, was there covering it. And, you know, you have to send all of this material back. And this is kind of just, I guess you would call, behind the scenes. It shows, you know, what you see on television takes several takes. But it just kind of shows the kind of guy Paul was, and and how professional he was.
Tough times don't last, but tough people do. That was Lou Holtz. Let's break that. I'm going to start again. Okay. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. That was Lou Holtz at the University of Arkansas, and that will be Lou Holtz wherever his future leads him. The 7-year head coach with a success ratio of 9 victories per season tendered his official resignation as head football coach at the University of Arkansas today before a jam-packed house at the Broyles Athletic Complex.
Okay, Paul.
Stand up open, cut 3. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. Oh, we got a couple of great... Tough times don't last, but tough people do. That was the philosophy of Arkansas football coach. Let's break that. Doggone it. I'm going to do it one more time. My teeth are freezing to my gums. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. That was Lou Holtz at the University of Arkansas, and that will continue to be Lou Holtz's philosophy wherever his future leads him. The 7-year head football coach with a success ratio of 9 wins per season tendered his official resignation this morning at the Broyles Athletic Complex here in Fayetteville.
Want to try one more just for the heck of it?
Should I do one more?
Yeah, I'll do one more. That'll be it.
Okay.
As that clip was playing, I said to you, you know, if you've ever been in the broadcast business and you're having to do multiple takes, you always, okay, this is the one.
Yeah,
this is the one we're keeping.
This is the keeper. That was Tim Hamilton, his longtime photographer, that you could hear talking in the background. And, yeah, he pushed him one more time, and I think he got the best take out of him.
Sticking with football, but now we're moving up.
A former Razorback and Arkansas businessman who bought a little team called the Cowboys.
And it's been a while now.
Well, Jerry Jones bought them in 89. For $140 million. And the last I saw, I thought it was worth $2.1 billion,
yes,
maybe?
With a B. Yes.
Yeah, with a B. So I'd say he's built that a little bit. So this is a news conference in Little Rock that he held. He held one in Dallas, then he flew up and held one in Little Rock for all the Little Rock media.
You know, my home is Arkansas. And my family are Arkansas. And... I'm moving to Dallas, but my heart and my family, many, many, many business interests are here, and the people that know me real well probably will say Jerry's going to be in Arkansas as much as he ever was, because I travel a lot. When my wife and I were first married, I got in on Saturday night and left out on Sunday. I was a traveling salesman, so I've always traveled. But I have a wonderful feeling for Arkansas, but I've spent a lot of time outside the state of Arkansas, and consequently have always told everybody that I've known or had any contact with in business how beautiful, how wonderful our wonderful state is.
At that news conference in Little Rock,
right,
the one in Dallas did not go that way. He was not a popular figure at first when he bought the Cowboys, because he left Little Rock, went back, and fired Tom Landry.
Yes.
In less than a week.
Yeah. Which.
And had Jimmy Johnson in and held a news conference in Dallas.
Okay.
You want to check in on that? Yeah.
You know, I think Tom Landry is one of the finest individuals and the finest coaches that I would ever hope to know. And it hurts me when someone says, I did something out of disrespect to Tom Landry. I mean, I'm in the coaching profession. You know, I look up to a man like Tom Landry.
You know, we had talked earlier about the mission of the Pryor Center, and that we collect these stories and we have people tell their stories on camera. And one of the people that we have talked to is Jerry Jones. And if we could, I'd like to play a little clip from, I believe the Pryor Center caught up with him in 2010. And this is just something him talking about how football has shaped his life.
They gave 60 scholarships a year to the University of Arkansas. There were 11 of us left when I graduated, 11 out of 60. So that experience of seeing really top flight people and players, for whatever their reasons, moving on down the line and never participating and never really possibly having the rewards, the real truth is the best players left. See, now you can't get but 30 scholarships, and you can't have but literally 60 scholarships at the same time. When I would go out for spring practice, we had 13 teams of players. It was the start of my second year. My jersey color was baby blue. When you play for a red team and you're baby blue, you're all the way down the pack. Baby blue. You can't get sent any far back in the pack than a baby blue.
I'm glad you brought that in because it also shows the in-depth interviews that, you guys do, whether it's Levon Helm or Jerry Jones.
That's true.
They're conversations, and they go on, and you get some of the and you hear the people really start to remember.
Well, and on the website, you can look at highlights from these interviews, but if you want to listen to the entire interview, you can do that or download it and burn it to a CD if you want to have it in your car or whatever.
Oh, wow.
The entire full interview. Plus, the transcript is there if you want to search for certain words or any topics that you might want to find someone talking about.
Really making history mobile.
Absolutely.
And personal. That's great. And again, that's pryorcenter.uark.edu. But before you go, Randy Dixon, last time when we did our first one, we talked about Bill Clinton
losing the 80 election
to Frank White.
Frank White.
And you mentioned that there was this apology ad.
Right. We referred to it in the news business as the I'm Sorry ad that he did in 82 as the opening ad for his campaign. It was a 60-second spot that is just him sitting on camera addressing the issues that, I guess, made him lose the election.
In a huge upset.
Yes. And, you know, Frank White, he pushed what he called Cubans and car tags. They had the
right.
Cuban refugees, and Clinton raised the cost of license plate fees
right.
when he said he wouldn't. And that was generally the idea of what lost him the election.
And keep in mind when you hear this ad, this is back when gubernatorial terms were 2 years.
That's
right. So this is, if this is the start of the campaign, it's not that long after the 1980 election.
Right.
Soon I will announce for governor, but before I do, there are a few things I want to share with you. Since my defeat in the last election, I've practiced law and spent more time with my wife and daughter. I've also traveled our state talking with hundreds of you about what I did right and wrong as governor. I've learned that many of you are proud of things I did, but that you feel I was often out of touch, that I worked hard on what I wanted to do, but didn't always seem to care about what you wanted me to do. And I'll have to admit, sometimes I did lose the forest for the trees. For example, you've criticized me for raising the car license and title transfer fees. When I became governor, our roads were in terrible shape, and I did support an increase in those fees to solve the problem. But it was a mistake, because so many of you were hurt by it. And I'm really sorry for that. We still have problems that have to be faced. They require leadership. If you will give me the chance to serve again, you will have a governor who's learned from defeat that you can't lead without listening.
Wow.
Pretty strong.
Pretty humble and never lost another election.
Absolutely.
Wow. So next time, politics?
Why not?
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do a politics theme.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you again. And again, I want to tell people, pryorcenter.uark.edu.
That's it.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you.
It is Monday, May 20th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. And with me, sorry.
And I'm Becca Martin Brown, because apparently he's forgotten who I am.
With me, Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Well, now that we're both surprised.
Yes. Sorry about that.
Let me tell you another surprise.
Okay.
Were you at the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas concert Saturday evening?
I was not. I had an out-of-town wedding.
Well, then I have a surprise for you, because they've announced their 2013-14 season.
And this is coming off four consecutive sold-out shows to end the second full season.
And each of them selling out sooner?
Yes.
So they're very happy people. And they're very excited about the new season, which includes the first concert November 16th. And that's a long wait, I know, but includes Barber's Adagio for Strings, mm-hmm. which apparently people have been asking Paul Haas to do.
I can imagine, yes.
It's a big deal. It's also got Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5 in E-flat major and Schubert's Symphony No. 9.
That's the first masterworks, yeah.
The Christmas concert on December 15th will feature the Sona Singers and regional choirs and a talent search mm-hmm. for new vocalists. February the 15th, the Valentine's Pops concert, all about love.
From Broadway to classical to opera.
Masterworks 2 on March 8th features Brahms' German Requiem. And Masterworks 3 on May 10th features Mozart's Symphony No. 35 and Mahler's Symphony No. 1. And all of this, if you are a season ticket subscriber, is available to you right now.
Because the tickets went on sale Saturday.
If you want to be.
For the subscription.
Ah, but it gets better. Okay. If you want to be a season ticket subscriber, you can reserve your season tickets now. Mm-hmm. So you can't pick your seat,
right?
But you can reserve season tickets. And otherwise, you have to wait for single tickets on July 22nd. And as Kyle said, keep in mind that the last four shows have sold out.
They've gone fast.
It's going well for the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas. And also tonight, on a completely different musical note, a California punk band called Face to Face will be at Rogue on Dixon Street. It features lead vocalist Trevor Keith, who's had two albums since reuniting the band in 2008. And he will be performing at 8 o'clock with bands called Teenage Bottle Rocket, Joshua Black Wilkins, and Blacklist Royals.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah. Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansas Songs. Barbara Hendricks was born November 20th, 1948, in Stevens in Ouachita County in South Arkansas, and went on to become one of the opera world's biggest stars and an internationally recognized humanitarian. The daughter of a Methodist minister, she graduated with honors from Horace Mann High School in Little Rock and earned advanced degrees in mathematics and chemistry before she began studying voice at New York's Juilliard School of Music at the end of the 1960s.
Oh,
Noted for interpretations of French and Scandinavian composers over the usual German and Italian fare, the star of Barbara Hendricks rose quickly and internationally in the opera world. The South Arkansas-born soprano won competitions in New York, Switzerland, and France, all prior to her graduation from Juilliard and her Paris recital debut in 1973. Hendricks' debut role was Susanna in The Marriage of Figaro. Her first recording was in 1974 as Clara in Porgy and Bess. While Barbara Hendricks was gaining notice musically, she also gained international attention for her endeavors outside of opera. In 1987, Hendricks was named an Ambassador of Goodwill for Refugees by the United Nations. She played peace concerts in the former Yugoslavia in 1991 and 1993 and spoke at the fifth anniversary of the reunification of Germany in 1995. The Arkansasian was also named a Special Advisor on Interculturality by the Director General of UNESCO in 1994. In the mid-1990s, Barbara Hendricks made the leap from singing opera to singing jazz. Typically, Hendricks went big. She debuted at the Montreux Jazz Festival in Canada in 1994 and has continued to perform at similar jazz festivals. In an even bigger leap, she personalized her humanitarian work by founding the Barbara Hendricks Foundation for Peace and Reconciliation in 1998. This was the culmination of years of work in war-torn areas around the globe and working with refugees. In 2001, Hendricks performed at the Nobel Peace Prize concert in Oslo, Norway. In 2006, she started her own record label. A resident of Europe since the 1970s and a Swedish citizen, singer and international humanitarian Barbara Hendricks of Ouachita County, Arkansas, could more accurately be called a citizen of the world. Here in its entirety is Arkansasian Barbara Hendricks of Stevens in Ouachita County with La Fia de Cadix, a Spanish-style bolero by French composer Leo Delis with lyrics by Alfred de Musset. Arkansas, your Barbara Hendricks of Stevens and Ouachita County with La Fille de Cadix. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of FM 89 and Experiment Station Studios. Associate producer of Arkansongs is Keith Merks. For more information, visit arkansongs.org. Arkansongs, since 1999.
This is Ozarks at Large. In just a few moments on the program, Timothy Dennis on the end of a traffic light era for Northwest Arkansas. That's just ahead. The KUAF website giveaway is offering a pair of tickets to the 10th anniversary Wakarusa Music Festival that will take place May 30th through June 2nd. The winner will be announced Friday during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Additional giveaways include tickets to the Country Music Festival Thunder on the Mountain. Separate registration for each is required, but registration for both available online at our website, KUAF.com. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. The Jones Center in Springdale will host a blood drive tomorrow to benefit American Red Cross Blood Services. It takes place tomorrow from 2 until 7 p.m., and the Jones Center will be offering incentives for those who donate by giving away a free membership each hour during the blood drive. Any company who has five or more employees donate blood will be entered to win a free two-hour ice skating party for their office. If you'd like to learn more about the Red Cross Blood Service Drive, you can go to redcrossblood.org. The Razorbacks softball season is over. The Razorbacks, ranked 24th in the country, fell to the number one team in the country, Oklahoma, 14-1 in five innings yesterday in Norman, Oklahoma. That was in the NCAA regionals. The Razorbacks had advanced to the NCAA regional finals for the second consecutive year. So the 2013 Razorback softball team finishes the season as the best ever in batting average, 283, in slugging percentage, in on-base percentage, in walks and runs scored. Meanwhile, as we mentioned earlier in the program, the Arkansas Razorback baseball team will now move on to the SEC tournament that's being played in Hoover, Alabama. Their first game, 9:30 in the morning on Wednesday. And the first ever Honor and Glory 5K Fun Run and Walk to End Veteran Homelessness will be held Saturday, June 8th at Chaffee Crossing in Fort Smith. The race begins at 7:30 on that Saturday morning and will start at Wells Lake. Registration entry fee is $30. The first 200 people who sign up for the 5K will receive a free T-shirt. And this Saturday at Hobbs State Park, there will be a Dutch oven cooking workshop. It takes place Saturday from 9 until 1, taught by Park Assistant Superintendent Jay Schneider at the Hobbs Visitor Center. That's on Highway 12, just east of the Highway 12 War Eagle Road intersection. If you'd like any more information or would like to register, 789-5000. There is a cost associated with this workshop. The first traffic light was installed in London nearly 150 years ago. It was manually operated, and it looks far different from the lights we're used to today. Sharp-eyed residents of Fayetteville may have noted that recent construction in the city has meant a shift when it comes to traffic lights in Fayetteville. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis has these thoughts about that change.
There's a particular stoplight in Fayetteville that's one of a kind, if not the last of its kind, in the area. If you've lived in Fayetteville for a while, you might know which one I'm talking about. It's at the intersection of Center Street and Duncan Avenue, and it has hung over that four-way stop for as long as me or anyone I've talked to can remember. When KUAF started broadcasting back in 1973, it was likely already regulating the flow of traffic a block from the house that was home to the then student radio station. To track down the history of this roughly 70-pound traffic light, I contacted Terry Gulley, Fayetteville's transportation director, and he in turn contacted his stoplight expert, Brad Anderson, who has worked in the city's transportation department for several years. Gulley says that the two have differing designs on how long the light has been in place.
He said that was there when he started in 75. I remember it being there in high school in the early 70s.
I was a child of the 90s, and I can only ever remember one other similar light in town, one that regulated the four-way stop at West Avenue and Lafayette Street. But that light is long gone, replaced by a modernized, fully signalized intersection. Though the definitive history of this particular light dates to the early 70s, Gully says that the fixture is probably much older than that.
That's probably a late 1940s to early 50s when it was new. Now, the housing's pretty much on the outside, the original, but we've converted that into an LED light, and it's actually hooked up to sensors. It's not timed. It's green on center unless somebody pulls up and we sense them on Duncan.
But this stoplight's days may be numbered. A proposed student housing development on the southwest corner of the intersection could spell doom for the relic, as large-scale development and large-scale traffic could mean that the lonely stoplight, the last of its kind, will be replaced by a modernized signal. If that's the case, the dinosaur won't be sold for scrap. Instead, it will be taken to storage to either be repurposed or preserved as a shrine to Fayetteville's past. For me, the light has always signaled a point of no return of sorts. As a student of the university and since graduating, I can't count how many times I've ridden my bicycle up the hill of Center Street towards campus. Once I would pass through the stoplight, I had to continue pedaling regardless of the strain, or else lose momentum and walk the rest of the way to the top. But somehow, I guess removing this endangered species of signal light is a point of no return in its own way. Vintage may be preferred when it comes to audio equipment or clothes, but considering how much traffic now ebbs and flows around the U of A campus, perhaps modernization isn't such a bad idea. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.
It's that time of year again for the KUAF Fulbright Summer Chamber Music Festival. Their second concert's coming up Thursday, May 23rd at 7:30 p.m. in the Stella Boyle Smith Concert Hall of the Fine Arts Building on the U of A campus in Fayetteville. They'll be playing Mozart's String Quintet in G minor K516 and Brahms' String Quintet No. 2 in G major Opus 111. Hi, I'm Katie Henriksen, host of Note, which airs the best in classical music Monday through Friday from 11 to noon on KUAF. Join me Tuesday for a recording of Brahms' String Quintet No. 2 in G major, performed by the Juilliard String Quartet. That's coming up on Tuesdays of Note from 11 to noon on your source for classical music, KUAF.
KUAF is supported by the Peel Compton Foundation, including the Compton Gardens and Conference Center, located at the pedestrian entrance of Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville. Public or private rental space with audio and visual capabilities and a catering kitchen are available. PeelCompton.org or 254-3870 for more information. This Saturday at the Washington County Animal Shelter, all adoption fees will be reduced to just $10. The shelter has a huge variety of cats and dogs available for adoption, including a batch of kittens just looking for their forever homes. The shelter is at 801 West Clydesdale in Fayetteville. For more information, 695-3450. And Grooming on a Sunday afternoon, a fundraiser to benefit Go East Young Dog Rescue and Transport, takes place June 9th. From 2 until 7 at Keels Creek Winery on Highway 62 East in Eureka Springs. If you'd like more information about that, 253-1649. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, and Grayrock, just north of Paris. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for listening.